Imagine a nation without land, but with its own flag, its own anthem, its own president, and a constitution written not in ink, but in blood, memory, and fire. This was the UNIA, the Universal Negro Improvement Association, the largest black movement the world has ever seen. From Harlem to Lagos, Kingston to Cape Town, over 6 million black souls pledged allegiance to a future the empire tried to silence. They didn't ask for freedom. They built it through secret newspapers, military-style parades, and a vision of African redemption. This is not just history. This is the untold story of the black nation that rose without borders and shook the foundations of colonial power. What was the UNIA? The birth of a black power engine. A nation without land, but not without purpose. There has never been another organization like it. Not before, not since. The Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League, known simply as the UNIA, was not just a movement. It was not just a protest. It was a blueprint, a black nation-building machine designed to exist outside the reach of white empire. It was founded not out of reaction, but vision. The vision was simple. The redemption of Africa, the dignity of black people, and the building of a sovereign future, free from white rule. Where most organizations of the early 20th century begged for equality inside systems that were never made for them, the UNIA said, "We will build our own." Where others asked to be included, the UNIA demanded independence. It was not moderate. It was not patient. It was revolutionary and unapologetically black. Foundational premise, what the UNIA believed. At its core, the UNIA believed three radical things. Radical only because the world rejected them. That black people were a global nation, not scattered, but dispersed. A people forcibly separated by slavery, colonization, and geography, but still connected by heritage, pain, and possibility. That this global nation had the right to self-rule, economically, politically, spiritually, and culturally. They didn't want integration into white systems. They wanted liberation from them. That Africa was the motherland, the rightful throne, and the symbolic and literal home of the black race. A place to be reclaimed, not abandoned. The UNIA called this vision African redemption. And everything, every flag, every office, every speech, every ship, was built toward that goal. It wasn't just an organization, it was a government in waiting. The UNIA established its own flag, anthem, courts, newspapers, military-style legions, schools, medical clinics, and even a provisional government of Africa, headquartered in Harlem, but spiritually rooted in Ethiopia and across the diaspora. It was structured with a president general, cabinet officers, ambassadors, chancellors of the exchequer, commissioners of education, industry, commerce, agriculture, and defense. And it wasn't symbolic. These titles were backed by real work. Thousands of divisions across continents managed real institutions, organized real communities, and moved real capital. The UNIA didn't imagine freedom. It practiced it. For the masses, not the elite. At a time when other black organizations, like the NAACP, were run by educated elites and funded by white philanthropists, the UNIA was built by the people, for the people. It was funded by barbers, nurses, dock workers, farmers, and laborers who were sick of watching their children be denied schooling, their history erased, and their communities crushed under the weight of European and American racism. And it was working-class black people, not academics or churchmen, who showed up in the thousands to rallies, marched in military parades, and wore the red, black, and green with pride. To them, the UNIA didn't just offer hope. It offered infrastructure. The Declaration of Rights of the Negro Peoples of the World, 1920. At the first international convention of the UNIA in Harlem in 1920, where over 25,000 black people from across the world filled Madison Square Garden, the UNIA presented a document that would become its Constitution of Liberation. It was called the Declaration of Rights of the Negro Peoples of the World. It included 54 demands and affirmations, including the right of black people to self-govern, the rejection of the term Negro as a racial slur, the demand for land, industry, and education free from white control, the declaration that Africa belonged to Africans, at home and abroad. It was bold. It was dangerous. And it was delivered before an empire that was watching very closely. The flag that carried a people. At that same convention, the UNIA unveiled a symbol that still flies today, a flag made up of three powerful colors. Red for the blood of Africans shed in resistance. Black for the skin and identity of the people. Green for the land of Africa and the hope of its restoration. This flag wasn't decorative. It was a declaration of war against white supremacy, erasure, and colonial theft. For a people scattered by ships, broken by chains, and denied even the dignity of their history, the red, black, and green was not just a symbol. It was a home in cloth. Why it was feared? The UNIA wasn't dangerous because it promoted violence. It didn't. It was dangerous because it gave black people dignity, direction, and discipline. Governments feared it. White supremacists loathed it. And even some black intellectuals felt threatened by its grassroots, unapologetic blackness. They knew the truth. The UNIA wasn't begging for access. It was organizing for departure, from mental slavery, from colonial structures, and eventually, from Western nations altogether. It was the seed of what we now call Pan-Africanism. But it was more than an idea. It was a machine. Closing reflection. The UNIA was not born out of a single man's ambition. It was born out of a global black scream that said, "We are tired of waiting. We are tired of begging. We will build our own." In a world that had stolen their languages, their names, their gods, their nations, the UNIA offered something profound. A reconstructed black identity, with a flag, an army, a press, a currency, a homeland, and a destiny. And that's where our journey begins.